Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Are you trying to do it all and do it all flawlessly? Break away from the cult of perfection with best-selling author and founder of Girls Who Code, Reshma Sajani, on her podcast, Brave Not Perfect. Each week, Reshma explores ways we can be braver in our everyday lives because bravery is a habit you form. She'll help you build that muscle so when it really matters, you're ready to take on life's challenges. So tune in and subscribe to the Brave Not Perfect podcast wherever you're listening right now. Fidelity Investments is looking for talented people, people who love helping others, people who are eager to start a career in financial services. Does that sound like you? As a customer relationship advocate, you'll be the voice of Fidelity. You'll learn alongside other resourceful, friendly associates, all working to achieve clients' financial goals. Learn more about the opportunities at customeradvocate.fidelitycareer.com. Fidelity Investments is an equal opportunity employer.
Without you, there'll be no sun in my sky. There will be no love in my life. There'll be no world left for me and I. Baby, I don't know what I would do. I'd be lost if I lost you. If you ever leave, well, baby, you would take away everything good in my life.
I was about to pretend I had a microphone, but I forgot I had one for real.
And tell me now, how do I live?
That's Shania, right?
This is by Leanne Rimes.
Oh, Leanne Rimes. Oh, yes.
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 I had to double check because you know they run together for me.
Yes. I know. I was almost about to join you, but you stopped. Okay.
How do
no, that's
I
okay.
ever
oh, change keys?
Ever
okay.
Suffer.
All right.
How do I?
Are you gonna join in or not?
That moment has passed.
How do I live?
Praise the Lord, niggas. Welcome back to Getting Grown with Jade and Kia. And I'm Kia, and the one making all of the noise is Jade.
Buenos noches.
I hope everyone is doing well, and we appreciate your patience. We thank you for being patient with us through our technical difficulties and things of that nature, but we are back like cook crack.
Yes, we are. Hello. Good morning. I'm so sorry for last week. The computer is the ghetto.
But it's back. So what's going on, sis? How are things? How's life? How's love? How's liberty and the pursuit of happiness?
Oh, yes. Life is living, mm-hmm. and the pursuit of happiness is the pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think I told Kia earlier, I was like, and things have been really, really good, but I did have me a full blown, you know, this is kind of like me turning into a werewolf. It rarely happens. But I had a full blown cry, like a ball. This morning, I got so
for yourself.
I got so stressed. I went, listen, if you don't want me, then don't talk to me.
Come here, Tasia. So, tell the testimony.
I was crying boots in the kitchen, just sobbing, a full sob at 7:30 this morning because I was stressed and I was tired and lack of sleep and all kinds of things. But once I got out of it, I was good. So
sometimes you just
things are
that.
Good. Yeah, sometimes you just got to let a good cry out. You know what I'm saying? Just like, just a good ball fest. But things are good. We have really amazing announcements. I know we keep saying that every week.
Like
but
every
oh,
week.
They're actually coming, Jesus. I believe, this week.
My
so,
Lord, today.
If I may self-promote shamelessly for one moment, Houston Dopest Dinner, Dopest Dinner Party tickets for Sunday. There are still a few of them left. So go ahead and hop on it before they're gone. We are having a Dopest Happy Hour Holiday Marketplace Extravaganza in Atlanta, December 13th. So we're going to have a blast and there will be some faves in the house. And that's it for now. Sis, how are you? How was your week? How were things? How's the pursuit of happiness?
I am yet living, yet breathing, yet having my being. I can't complain. Work is work. Life is life. Mm-hmm. And we're moving through. It is almost October. And today is the first day of autumn.
That is nuts.
Yeah, man. 2019 is just about ready to kick ball change off the scene. And we are moving full force into the year of our Lord 2020.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about that. Sorry, y'all. I have me an Auntie Pepsi tonight.
Well, whether or not your feelings are feeling, there's not a thing that we can do about it.
No. So, well, I'm glad to know that you're doing well and we're pushing right on through in this last quarter. Can y'all believe, niggas, we about to hit 2020. I literally can't. So,
my God.
We have a full trash today.
Oh, great.
Let's get into it. Ooh, the trash is full in basura and cha-cha-cha and hot, caliente, caliente, calor. Did you watch the Emmys?
Nope.
Okay.
I was sleep.
Me neither.
Sleep. But Niecy looked amazing.
Did.
Zendaya.
It was beautiful.
Oh, no, I didn't know what you was going to do. I was going to say, she nailed it. She won. As far as I'm concerned,
oh, yes.
I don't know what anybody else wore, but that green...
The shoe.
I've got to be seen in it, okay?
Okay, I've got to be seen.
I was here and present okay. for it. I was on my, I woke up. So this is my thing. What happens to me in my old age, older age, old? That's not. I'm not shading myself, but you know, I'm getting older. I don't necessarily make like I don't necessarily go to bed. Sometimes the bed just comes and gets me. Like I came home yesterday and I you know, took off my clothes and I was, you know, I was prepared. I took a shower and I laid across the bed, not intending to actually go to sleep. I think I laid across the bed to like plug my phone in. And I was like on the phone. Next thing I knew, it was like 4 a.m. My contacts were in, the lights were on. Like the sleep just comes and gets me. It's really scary some a little bit because I just like pass away a little bit. And then to be like, oh,
it's yeah. But those are the best naps.
And then, oh yeah. Well, yeah.
Those are the best naps. Cause you be deep in it, a wrinkle in time, my nigga. Like it's just, it's wonderful. That'd be the best.
But yeah,
I missed a whole lot.
I missed a whole lot of television and things that I had intended to do because the sleep came and got you, girl. That's all.
Well, I'm very jealous of the sleep that you had, but neither did I watch the Emmys, but I do have notes from them. So
okay, Niecy Nash looks amazing. Did I say that?
You did, and I agree with you. And it is, it, and I think it warrants to be said again. Niecy Nash looked amazing.
She won the trophy.
Zendaya, sis.
Mm-hmm. That part,
sis.
They were the only two that were there, as far as I was concerned.
Honestly,
no. But the young man that won the Emmy for the When They See Us, yes, he's also in there.
Jerome.
Yes, indeed. Jerome, what a name.
Jerome, he's from the Bronx, Dominican young man
from the Bronx.
We first saw him in Moonlight.
Did.
Alongside, who was he? He was young, Kevin. Mm-hmm, yeah, he was Kevin. He portrayed Kevin, and then he portrayed Corey Wise in When They See Us, and he won his first Emmy, and I felt warm inside.
I too saw his speech on the Instagram today, and it warmed the cockles of my heart.
It did. It did. And I was very happy about it. It was like a little toaster oven right inside my shirt. So I was really happy about him. Billy Porter.
Yeah.
Okay. Billy Porter made history, baby, by being in a hat.
I mean, suiting.
Okay. Cowboy couture is what they're calling it. He came, he slayed. I don't know how I feel about that term anymore, but he came and he made history as the first openly gay man of color to win the category of outstanding lead actor in a drama series for Pose. I mean, can we just give him a round of applause?
Hands of applause. Let me see your hands clap.
Billy Porter, round of applause. Baby, make those hands clap.
Baby, make those hands clap.
Billy made those hands clap. Let me see your hands clap. Lights off. But I was so happy for him. Pose is an amazing series. Billy Porter just earned his way into my heart. I was a little late to the Pose train, but he actually earned his way into my heart with his on American Horror Story. I just absolutely love him. I'm here for him, and I'm so excited for him, Jarrell, and all of the winners. Terrence Howard was there. I don't know how he got invited, but he was dressed like Gaston. So,
just from Beauty and the Beast?
Yes.
I want a guy. Gaston.
So, I just wanted to, in case anybody missed that, I just want you to go back and look and see if you too saw Gaston.
That was good to me.
So that was the Emmys.
what a disaster this show is, my God.
Tekashi.
Whom?
Oh,
Tekashi. Yes. Twa'la Lee, Tweet Tweet.
Young Ratatouille.
Young Bonita Betrayal. Sitting upon the stoop. He ain't one to gossip. But around.
But he heard. So Tekashi is out here like openly and slowly.
I'm very concerned for his welfare. I mean,
I'm not, but I know
well,
it's coming.
Just saying it's demise is imminent.
Ooh, baby. Okay. Babe, inevitable. Looming. Do you hear me?
Okay. Help us.
Like a storm cloud. Ooh, he is singing, okay?
I mean,
canary.
Fully diaphragm, fully engaged. He is in song. He is
just
telling.
Call him Fantasia, Jasmine Houston,
telling
Mariah.
Everything he's ever seen or known or made up, imagined. He is. Ooh, a wrinkle in time. Talk about a wrinkle in time. That boy is telling a story.
Do you hear me, sis? Mm. American Gods.
I don't even I don't know anything about who these people are for the most part, but I know that he is doing way too much talking.
Yeah, and, so much. Naming people's names. Carnitas Bay, Cardi B. Belle Calise, he named her, says she was a part of the Bloods.
So many things he's been naming. So many people.
Jim Jones.
So many people.
Jim Jones, he played recordings of Jim Jones. Like, what are sir, what are you doing?
What does this have to do with the crimes that he is being tried for? I don't understand what he feels. Well, I don't know. I should probably.
Do you think your sentence is going to get minimized?
This is what
and
I'm saying.
But what do you think is going to happen to you if it does and you get out?
Sweet holy God, listen. I will just...
My nigga, you are finished.
I'm just praying for all parties involved. I want everybody to just be okay. But I don't know. Mm.
Well, I'm just watching because these memes are hilarious. Tamar Braxton wore her Spanx.
I saw that.
On the Wendy Williams show.
And I just feel like I tried to understand what for? I don't understand. Like, I guess she's starting a fitness journey for 60 days. She's going to be doing some sort of some cleansing and weight management systems and things of that nature. But mm-hmm. I don't understand why in that what that had to do with her not wearing a dress on.
Well, you know, the Hurus love a movement. They love a movement.
I don't know what that sound was.
And the birds.
I follow.
The pigeons. They love a movement. And Tamar, one of our favorite ones, she's starting a movement. She says she does not feel comfortable in her skin.
Right, but I don't understand why that would mean, like, wear my Spanx. I don't feel comfortable in my skin, either. So I'm going to wear my Spanx.
She's like, this is my last time wearing Spanx. I don't know if she was doing like a Zendaya at the Met Gala.
She will need them after she does this cleanse.
Her transformation.
I still don't see how that means wear Spanx in lieu of a dress.
I mean, there's generally a few question marks surrounding most things that Tamar does and says to me. But I really try
with Tamar. I really because I feel like... I don't dislike Tamar. I don't. I mean, there are things she's quirky. Either. There are things about mm-hmm. her that are interesting. Mm-hmm. But I think fundamentally we would be, you know, good friends, good vacation Bible school friends. I think we would really just get along. But this, I don't know about. I don't know about this.
I don't either. I've embraced and adopted her, or embraced her Mac and me hairstyle and. Do you remember that movie? Nope. Mac and Me?
I was just going to let it ride. So I was like, what?
Let me send you a link.
That's okay.
Can I send you a mm-hmm. link?
I want you to just move forward into the trash so that we might get through it and get on.
So I've embraced Tamar. I do not hate Tamar, but Tamar does befuddle. I am very confused by most things that she does. But I really just wanted to hear what you were going to say about her wearing her Spanx on Wendy Williams.
I did see that, and it was troubling unto me.
Apparently, she's also still having beef with those of The Real.
You know, that I feel like I just feel like, okay, all right. Because we're talking about, I don't know why we keep talking about it is, I guess, what I want to say.
I don't know why she keeps talking about it. I just figured, you know, just live and let live. Like, y'all just ain't friends no more. And it's okay to just kind of keep moving with that.
You've gone on and you have done other things. You've been successful. You won Big Brother. Like, you are, you know, you're still doing your show. You got a man.
You have a TV show. Yeah.
So, like, sis, why are we still talking about these things? But,
like... y'all ain't friends no more. Just move
like
on.
Why? And I feel like Wendy brought it up because Wendy's Wendy, but I feel like Tamar could have been like, oh, I mean, I wish them well. Like, you know, I don't know. And I feel like she might have said that, but still it was just like, okay.
Oh, in a way. Yep. Sorry, Tamar. Okay. And the last thing on the trash today, there is an Orlando police officer who... arrested a 6-year-old little girl because she had an outburst in class, and apparently her outburst was due to her sleep apnea. Mm, 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 mm. All I know is she's 6 years old, and 6-year-olds have outbursts. Arrested. I have one of them arrested, handcuffed this child.
Like she Mirandized. I mean, he Mirandized a 6-year-old girl.
He did. Yes. Yes, he did. He put handcuffs on a 6-year-old girl. A black cop, too. Mm. Black cop, okay. Black cop.
All right.
KRS-One said a word. But he was fired expeditiously, which, you know, he should have been fired immediately. And he also does not have a clean history. Apparently he's got some charges against him for some violence towards his own child, his 7-year-old child. You know, there's been other reported incidents. So they fired him immediately, which I'm all the way here for. Now, do I wish on another note that they would do the same thing with these immigrant cops? Absolutely. And by immigrant, y'all know what I mean. I wish they would arrest them just as quickly when they're out here killing all of killing all people of color and all manners of things and doing whatever they would like to and marching around in their sheets and on their horses and all sorts of things. But I am glad that they got rid of this nigga, because you don't put no handcuffs on no 6-year-old. They don't even have the mentals to grasp any manner of logic that you have going on surrounding an outburst in class. Like, you don't put handcuffs on them. You sit down and have a conversation, try to calm them down, because they don't know how to completely control their emotions right now. They're still learning themselves. They're just out of being toddlers. It's just disgusting.
It is.
I'm disgusted by it. And that's the trash today.
That's enough.
Mm-hmm. We have some beautiful shout outs though, so we can get to those.
Holy. Do it.
My sister's popping right now. Lala.
All right. It's one of my favorite segments. Shout out to my sis. So we have some dope shout outs per usual this week. First and foremost, I know we've shouted her out multiple times, but we must shout out Shanti Mayers of the Sable Collective. She opened her very own 100% owned by her brick and mortar store in City Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I am just over the moon proud of her. I walked in there. Shanti had tags on her stuff. We saw our sis Nikki from Zen in a Jar up on the shelves. Wholesale orders. We have Rayo and Honey with her pendants. So many wonderful Ariane's jewelry. She's got her stuff in there. Zelig jewelry, which is Shanti's sister Bridget. It is just stocked with all manners of beautiful things. And the store is decorated with intention. You feel comfortable when you walk in. Shanti really put her all into it. And I have to shout her out because I'm so proud of her. Shanti's a single mother. She is really doing the damn thing, raising her daughter and holding down Around the Way Curls and holding down the Sable Collective. And I just couldn't be more proud of her. So we love you, Shanti, and we wanted to give you a shout out. I know many people have been asking about an online store. Let her get through opening weekend of her brick and mortar, and she promises she is going to she's going to get into the online business. She just had to kind of get some things together, so it's coming. But if you're in Philly, make sure you go down to City Center and support the Sable Collective.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to go.
I know you, sis. I saw so beautiful in there.
Stories all weekend, and I was just like, hype. I was so hype. Yes. Like, this is a real store in the mall, girl. You better have, go ahead.
Girl, we walked in. First, we got hype because we went to the mall map.
The directory.
And we got hype. We were like, look at that. Shani's on the mall map.
Come on in, directory.
When she was on the directory, you walk up, you see the Sable Collective sign, you walk in. Like, it was just all of the little things that you take for granted when you go to the Express or wherever you host shop. You walk in, you know, you got tags, y'all look, you do da-da. But to walk in and see your own tribe with their own tags on their own stuff and just strangers walking in. And I heard two Black women saying, we were running out to go grab something, and I heard them say, I'm so happy to see a store like this for us. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, my heart, I'm about to cry. So I'm so proud of Shanti. Make sure you all support her. And then also, we have two more shout outs. The next one is for Urban Word NYC Champions, along with the Dreamers Brunch. So the Dreamers Brunch and Urban Word NYC are joining forces to bring you the Grow Brunch. So we want you to join them as they turn their favorite communal gathering into a fundraiser for youth literacy servicing New York City teens. They share stories, bottomless drinks, brunch eats, a live DJ, breakout performances, silent auctions, and more. And I'll be sure to put all of the information in the description box. This is going to be on Saturday, October 12th in Columbus Circle. Again, all of the info will be in the description box. There's two cycles. And just a little background, Urban Word NYC champions the voices of New York City youth by providing platforms for critical literacy, youth development, and leadership through free and uncensored writing, college prep, and performance opportunities. So this is a fundraiser with a really big purpose, and we want to do our best to try to support them. So you can hit up thedreamersbrunch.com. Again, all of that information will be in the description box. And I really, really would love for you all to please support, even if you can't attend. The fundraiser is for our youth. It's for our youth and our Black youth specifically. So please support that. Check out the information in the description box. And what's the last one you got, sis?
All right, all right. This one is for my DC DMV locals and natives. I can talk, I promise. trying to ward off a sneeze. My allergies are allergying. But yes, we are throwing all of our weight and support behind Nikalia Okome of the Side Hustle Pro podcast. For those of you who don't know, the Side Hustle Pro is the first and only podcast to spotlight bold Black women entrepreneurs who have scaled from side hustle to profitable business. And the Side Hustle Pro will be having their first ever live show Wednesday, October the 9th at the Arc Theater in D.C. The event is designed to help you finish 2019 strong. You'll get ideas for how to grow, market, and monetize your side hustle. And best of all, you'll get to meet and network with other side hustlers in the DMV. Plus, you'll experience the pre-show shopping marketplace, which will feature Black women-owned businesses. So this evening will include a live on-stage conversation with personal branding expert Maya Elias. She's an entrepreneur who has bootstrapped her business to almost $500,000 in revenue. Ooh. And a live audience Q&A. So the Side Hustle Pro Live will be an exciting night of the popular Side Hustle Pro podcast come to life. The doors will open at 7 o'clock. The show will start at 8 p.m. We will put tickets to the link to get your tickets in the description box. I fully plan to try to be there in support if I can, if I'm in town.
Sam.
But Nikalia is a friend of mine and a friend to the show. And she actually attended the Getting Grown live show at the Arc Theater in 2017. Or is it 18?
Duh.
Or was it one of the, whenever? Was it 18? I think it was 18. Yes, 2018. We had a live show in DC and she was able to come and we had a talk and how that experience inspired her to shoot her shot and try to do her own live show. So it would be dope if DC can come out and support. And also too, I think if you listen to the Side Hustle Pro this week, you might hear a very special person on the show.
Oh, really?
I don't know who. But
it ain't me.
Just take a listen. But yeah, y'all, please go and support this event. It's gonna be dope.
Please,
it's gonna be so much wonderful information and awesome networking and relationship building opportunities for us, building networks among Black women who are out here doing amazing things. So if you can, if you're in town, it's a good Wednesday night. Come and get your things. And if you see me, you know, say hey. I'll say hey.
Yes. Babe. Yes, we always do.
Indeed.
And that's our shout outs this week. So let's move on to our kitchen table talk.
Let's go.
Getting in shape isn't just about losing weight. It's about feeling better about yourself, whether that means having more energy to keep up with your busy life, fitting into those goal jeans, being more in tune with your body's needs, or just practicing better self-care. Mm-hmm. Noom is a habit-changing solution that helps users develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. With Noom, no food is good, bad, or off limits. Instead, Noom teaches moderation by helping you track meal habits, visualize portion sizes, and see calorie density at a glance. It can even be used in conjunction with many pre-existing popular diets. You know, I have goals. I just like to eat a little bit more balanced. I'm not really one to deprive myself of things, but I know that balance is important. So that's one of my, you know, one of my goals for myself. That's when I feel my best. That's when I feel the most confident in my body. That's what gives me the most energy when I'm making those healthy choices. But you don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/grown. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/grown to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/grown. The last weight loss program you'll need.
Getting into debt is easy, girl, don't we know? And getting out of debt is hard, girl, don't we know? Thankfully. Now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt, because they know you're more than just your credit score. So let's talk about credit for a little bit, huh? Let's talk about when they gave me my first little card, and I had really thought that it was cash in my pocket, and I just went ahead and started swiping like I ain't have no business. I had no sense. And the next thing you know, honey, we were maxed. And those payments were coming too fast, too furious, like Fast and Furious 7. Is that having many movies that haven't? But yeah, if I would have known about Upstart back then and would have taken advantage of some of the things that they offer, I probably wouldn't have been in the precarious situation that I might find myself in currently. Or have had to find myself through currently, honey, because thankfully we're on the other side of that and our credit is in good shape. So Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. So Upstart makes it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. Once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day, honey. That's the next day. That's within 24 hours. So over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards and meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into just one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. And hurry to upstart.com/grown to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes just a few minutes and it won't affect your credit score at all. That's upstart.com/grown. Check it out. Okay, we are back at the kitchen table and Jade is being childish per usual. Talking about she gonna wear her Spanx to our next live show and she will be out there by her damn self. Okay.
I will be in my men's Hanes with a little flap. She
gonna wear boxers briefs. She gonna be dressed.
I do wear boxer briefs. My word. They're the greatest underwear in life. No wedgie clan. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Can we be serious for a moment?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
For a moment. All right. So this week's kitchen table talk was inspired by an article that I read in EXO Nicole. Hey to our friends at EXO Nicole.
Yes, hello.
We love you guys. But I read this article about a piece. I think it was an interview published on People that Viola Davis did. Got to refresh the page. So she was talking about how she embraced her glow up and the woman that she's become. And I thought that it really inspired me to have a conversation with Jade and the rest of our friends around the kitchen table around confidence and practices for cultivating self-confidence. And just, you know, what are things that we can do day to day in order to kind of sustain that, especially in a world where we are often, you know, silenced and boxed in and told how we have to be and dress and exist. Mm-hmm. So Viola was talking about her role playing Annalise Keating on
In Widows,
ABC's How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh, is that what her name is on there?
Yes.
I don't watch.
Oh my word. Either way,
I watched the first episode and I was like, oh man.
So after this season, we'll probably never see the show again. I think this is the last season that we're getting ready to embark upon. But she was saying that, you know, she's going to miss playing Annalise. She doesn't know she's going to meet another character like her. And she appreciated that Annalise gave her an opportunity to develop a new and healthier self-image. She said she grew up in South Carolina in poverty, believing that she would never be anything more than a poor, ugly girl. And Annalise is such a dynamic character, you know, that was very bold and agentic, mm-hmm. and she had everything. She was mysterious, she was highly intelligent, she had a really big personality, and she was just unashamed and unafraid and really just did what she want. And she said playing that role really gave her permission to see herself as better and more than what she was kind of conditioned to think that she was. And the job, she said, that job gave me permission to see all of my womanhood. I am a product of a culture that has dictated who I am, a dark-skinned Black woman with lips and a nose and a deep voice. So all of a sudden, this character, Annalise, comes in like a whirling dervish, and she's all of it. She's messy, almost sociopathic, true, sexual, mysterious, highly intelligent, and big personality. She's all those adjectives that are not associated with me, and I've got to play her. So she talked about pushing that role kind of pushed her into wanting to be more and kind of embody more of those things in herself. And, you know, since then, she's kind of been kind of trying to undo some of and unlearn some of the ways that she has learned, has conditioned herself to shrink. So I wanted to talk about that because it really kind of inspired me to think about the ways that I've conditioned myself to shrink and how I've kind of let the negative talk kind of rule the day and going forward and getting older and being more grown and more of an adult. How do I fully embrace grown Kia? So I wanted to kick off the conversation by asking you, where do you think we learn our confidence? Because Viola said that she grew up thinking that she was, you know, she would never be more than poor and ugly. And where do you think some of those messages come from that would lead to that kind of thinking as an a grown adult woman?
That's layered. First and foremost, obviously, racism. A lot of that is rooted in racism. A lot of it is rooted in slavery. I know people be so tired of us going back to that, but that's what it is. That's where a lot of it comes from. It comes from conditioning where, you know, immigrants taught us that, you know, dark is wrong and dark is ugly and dark is all of these negative things. Look at all of the things that are associated with the dark. Negativity is always associated with the dark. The evil is associated with the dark. So we've been conditioned by society in general and by, you know, the immigrants as a people. I think also a lot of it comes from us. And I know that's also layered because a lot of us who I don't want to speak as if I think this way, but there are many of us where we were taught these things because of what's been ingrained in society that dark is ugly, and we've transferred that generationally to some of our youth. You know, it's been shown in super apparent ways. I remember my mom telling me about my great grandmother who treated my grandfather, which was her son, very ugly, very, very ugly. She was a large, dark woman, and he was a young, very dark man. My grandfather was very, very dark, and she treated her son horribly because of that, and treated my grandmother, her daughter-in-law, beautifully because she came in here, young, mixed girl, and there, you know, she's like, oh, she treated her different because she was light skinned. And a lot of that is like really nasty and negative conditioning. And then I think if you want to boost it up a little bit, and maybe it's not so in our faces, but even some of how we grew up where, and that's not, obviously I'm not a dark skinned woman and I have not experienced some of the things that my sisters have. And I you know, I want to make sure that I say that and not say that our experiences have been the same, but just as Black women in general, thinking, let's take picture day, and we're told we need to straighten our hair, and you know, for special occasions, we're, you know, they're straightening our hair and putting hot combs to our hair and things like that, and been taught that, oh, this is what you do on a special occasion. This is what's beautiful on a special occasion. This is when you look your prettiest. So I think a lot of this is conditioning, and it's very layered conditioning. And could lead to another conversation, but yes,
yeah, I would
to answer your question.
I think I would add on to that, just along the same vein of internalizing all of these messages. And I mean, even doing so, I feel like subconsciously, it just kind of becomes like a routine of, you know, and just these are how kind of like norms and values and standards are just kind of, like you said, propagated and passed on. It's just like, this is the way that it is. But internalizing those messages, then that happening like generationally. And I also want to talk about the costs, like the costs and implications of not being picked or not, not being, you know, being opposite what the standard is, even if it's not articulated in a certain kind of way. Knowing what beauty is and knowing that what you are is the opposite of that. Or feeling that what you are is the opposite of that, and not having messaging and people and support to kind of build you up, that will lead you, especially a young child, given where we are developmentally as children and how we are so egocentric, not you know, not at it by any fault of our own, just because we're, as from babies and developing mm-hmm. through childhood, we're so focused on ourselves, and our imaginations mm-hmm. can just kind of build all of these kinds of narratives in, you know, how children internalize, you know, the absence of parents, and how children internalize certain things. You know, no one ever sat down and said, you know, like no one ever sat me down and said, you know, my parents are divorcing. And you know, your dad's going to be leaving and it's going to lead to these things. But just my dad's absence led my imagination to kind of come up with all of these different reasons why my father didn't want to be with me. And he never told me that, but my imagination just kind of went there. So like, you know, imagining, like applying that same kind of thing to standards of beauty, and realizing people talking about, oh, beautiful hair looks like this, and knowing that your hair is opposite that. Beautiful skin looks like this, and knowing that your skin is opposite that. Like all of those things come at a cost, and having different values, you know, ways that things are valued in different spaces. So I think,
look at the H&M ad. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So like, I mean, and then the conversation that surrounds that. Right. So I've been seeing all kinds of things, and I've been kind of laying back in the cut and just kind of observing, but seeing how people are responding to that, that H&M ad, you know, how, you know, people saying that her hair should be combed, her hair should be this, it should look like this, it should. And what does that look like? Like, you know, if that's how her hair naturally grows out of her head, why is it a problem that that's the way that they put it that way? And, you know, I'm kind of torn because I'm kind of torn yeah. because I feel like if it were me, if it were my child, if it were anybody, you know, I would have preferred her hair to be combed. I would.
Yes.
But, you know, it does.
Do you know the backstory to it? I'm sorry.
I don't. But I mean, it does beg the question. I mean, from what I understand, all the kids in that particular ad campaign, their hair was unkempt and disheveled. Like nobody's hair was done.
Nobody's hair was done. I saw the other pictures. And also I found out today that whoever the lead was on that particular project, one of the executives at H&M who was behind it, a black woman, actually, she posted a picture of herself with her hair just like the little girl in the ad.
Okay.
Just like it. And she's like, this is what I looked like as a little girl. I came home, my hair was messed up from school. Like, but the idea was for allowing kids to be kids. And that it's true. Having one, they come home, they be looking the fool. Mm-hmm. They do not look like when they left the house. And so like you, I had, you know, dual feelings on the situation.
Like, well, now, you know, triggered.
But, you know, just first when I, you know, read the entire thing before trying to completely react, read the entire thing. Okay, you got all these kids. They all, you know, they're trying to show this in a kids element. This is not a racial thing. Then when I heard the backstory and read the backstory on that particular executive, I was like, okay, all right, I understand where they're coming from. And like you said, we need to, like, what is wrong with
it? Right.
With,
like, it made me think of Blue, right?
Her hair.
It made me think of Blue. And all of the ways that y'all, you know, Beyonce know better than that. Beyonce, blah, 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 blah. And we let her, you know, we didn't understand why Beyonce didn't comb Blue's hair, or why she did it the way she did it, or what have you. But it made me think of, if this is, why does this evoke such a reaction out of us? Mm-hmm. Why is it a matter of, you know, why does our hair the way it is, as it is, you know, why does it trigger us in these ways? So again, I mean, I think given all of that, and what does that say for the messages that we have on the inside, you know, the things that we have internalized of what's appropriate, what's standard, what's, you know, this or that. And we don't want to get too far deep in, because, you know, I've seen some mm-hmm. deep things, you know, people saying combs and brushes are tools of the oppressor.
Okay, all right.
You know, we've it don't take us long.
The Hotep Hottie Squatty is so strong.
It don't take us long to go there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's just like, I'm gonna ask you this. Would you say that you had strong models for you know, living confidently as a black woman growing up?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely
tell me about
did.
That.
I'm, my mom, first and foremost. Like, and you know, she's my mom, and I know we've talked about issues, and you know, we got black mother issues and stuff like that. But as an example of a woman, especially watching her and then being and then getting to this age and really like reflecting back on the type of woman she was. Women in general get shit done, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we do. But watching how my mother really went, like, my father was a hard worker, let me be very clear. But watching her go above and beyond in ways that even a man might not fully understand. He, you know, they'll get up, they'll go to work, they want to provide. You know, you've got fathers who really, really show a lot of affection to their children. But something about that, something about that woman, my mother really, like, she did things, took jobs she did not want to take in order for us to, you know, for her to be able to pick us up from school, or, you know, changing her entire schedule to make sure that she was able to spend time with us, even if it was running errands for shit that she had to do. Like, just really making adjustments in her life and that to make sacrifices for us was such an example. And I appreciate her more now than I probably ever did in my life. So she was an awesome example. My grandmother, where she raised 8 kids and raised them right. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, like, kept them as good human beings. And obviously we have our issues and stuff in our family, but she busted her ass to make sure that she took care of 8 kids, and she did it effortlessly, or what looked effortlessly. So I feel like I have some amazing examples of black women in my life who are strong black women. What about you?
So absolutely. I think, I think it's interesting though, because when we talk about confidence, I think you did what I was about to do. And as you were, as you were doing it,
yeah, I was thinking, like, I realized,
you know, all of the things that you're saying are like tied to like being dope, being strong, being fearless, being, you know, at work. They're all conditions that are attached to like activities and what we do. And I feel like I had plenty of models of like, you know, I felt like, yes, I had models of what it meant to be confident, what confidence looked like. But I will say that the confidence was always conditional. It was attached to certain things. So like you were saying, I only felt pretty when my hair was done, or I, you know, there were certain things that needed to be in place in order for me to fully embrace or to embrace me, to be open to me. And I think the older that I get, I'm learning to just like raw, bare, naked Kia without
the assistance
of like, you know, anything. Like, what inside and out, physically and you know, not physically, personally, emotionally, what are the things about me that I can be proud of? And, you know, like, how can I move with a certain level of confidence and be comfortable in my skin without the benefit of, you know, a deep side part and
that's true
long, you know, long straight hair
and a doobie wrap,
you know what I'm saying, and or like, you know, a snatched waist and, you know, a backside sitting on my shoulders. Like, what are the things that you know, these are the things that make me feel pretty, a beat face, a fabulous pair of shoes, you know, the right outfit, being, you know, those are the things that make me feel like a it girl. But what are the things about Kia that, you know, my natural, like, I've realized, especially the older I get, is that I don't feel like I had models for confidence, but I didn't have models for sexy. I don't know what sexy looks like. If you tell me to be sexy, I'm going to bust out laughing. See, because it's like, I'm so childish. Like, I don't know. How do you do that? I don't know. But like, but it's like,
same.
I want to know, like, you know, and I mean, I'm going to be 37 years old in a couple of months. And it's like, how do I embrace those things and feel beautiful in my skin? You know, I don't feel like I've had those kinds of models. I know how to stand before the people in my good hosiery and pencil skirt and deliver. But when it comes to, you know, having eye contact for a certain number of minutes, or, you know, really walking with my head held high in a space and being fearless and not worrying about what people are thinking about me. I don't know that I've had, I mean, I see that and I see other people do it, but in terms of like, no, I don't feel like anyone's ever taught me how to do it or I've ever had the skills to teach myself. So that is where I kind of want to turn the conversation in terms of like Annalise had to teach, well, Annalise brought Viola to a place where she could learn how to have that kind of boldness and appreciate and celebrate her glow up. She was talking about, the, you know, playing Annalise kind of hipped her to the, oh, if Annalise can be a bad bitch, so can Viola. God damn it. Like, you know,
right.
So
Viola's played it.
You know what I'm saying? So like, you know, what are the things about, you know, this ideal person that you have in your head? If you see, if I see Kia in all of Kia's glory, this imaginary Kia, the Kia that I want to be, what are the things that are keeping me from that? And how can I, what are the things that I can do to kind of get me to that place?
Okay. Oh, I like that. I like that steer. I like that steer. I see what you did there.
Well, I'm just trying to build a show. Piece by piece with your help.
I will say with my mother, I will say as far as, you know, the bad bitch element, she'd be so irritated if she heard me say that.
Mine too. She would be like, this language, my word.
She's like, excuse me. My mother always talks. She's always, Jade, your mouth is filthy. That's why y'all can't tell her.
That's why she still don't know. I appreciate your cooperation and patience.
Yeah, we all snitched on me. I had young parents. And so, you know, I remember watching, like, the age that I am now, I remember watching my parents at this age, like, very clearly, you know what I'm saying? And my parents, they had fun. Like, my dad DJed, my dad was a DJ, and my mother, they went out, you know what I'm saying? Like, they lived their lives. I watched them. And I think that's, so, okay, all right. In my own experience, right. My mother was never one to really focus on looks. Mm-hmm. Now, there were some problematic things, you know what I'm saying, which I think we've talked about with some generational, like, you need to get on the treadmill. Like, but girl, I'm 11 and this is baby weight. Like, right. You know, stuff like that. But my mom was really instrumental in teaching us anti-vanity. So it wasn't like walk with your head, you know, low and, you know, you need to wear a pair of Skippies to school every day. But it was more so like, I want you all to be independent women. I want you to be able to take care of yourselves.
Right. Same. But my mom always told me I had time. You got plenty of time to be fly. Mm. And then it's like, sis, I'm 35.
Right. Right. Like, this is when you were fly. And I saw them go to the club and my mom would have her little outfit on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like Fashion Nova in the 90s. And she'd have on a two-piece and a belly chain and like, but be real, but like, it was sexy, but it was fly though. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't trashy. And I watched my parents go out, they get ready to go to the club, and we were getting ready to, you know, fuck up the house. But I watched them do that. And later on, I said it to her. I was like, but you used to, I think I had my belly up or something. And she was like, mm. And I was like, girl, like 10 years ago, you had your belly out. Y'all was going to the club. Like, I watched you do it. And she was like, I think she was mad because she said she felt like she couldn't dress like that anymore. And I was like, well, why can't you dress like that no more?
Well, yeah.
Why can't you wear that? She's like, Jade, because I'm old. But I watched her in her bad bitchdom.
Yeah, I never got that. That's dope.
And I guess I never really thought about it until now when you presented this. But I too still have never, and I think even to this day, I don't have like a, I don't feel like I ooze a sex appeal. Like, I don't feel like.
And sex appeal is not one thing, right? You know, I feel like it's all, and that's what I'm learning to embrace, right? I know that my sexy will never be Beyonce sexy. Like, my sexy is different.
Right.
It's just situated differently because it's got to come out of me and my body. So I'm not saying that I'm trying to be somebody else, but I want to really know what that looks like and what that feels. And that's not to say that my mother was, you know, walking around in a choir robe all the time.
Right.
You know, she definitely had her moments when she put on her things and knotted her pearls and her pleated skirts and, you know, put her stockings on. But I'm just saying, like, you know, I just feel like when I say my mom said you had plenty of time to be cute and feminine, it was because she was really, you know,
pushing me toward, you know, like you said, being independent, being strong, mm-hmm. being self-sufficient, being mm-hmm. smart, and, you know, really embracing and understanding that I am more than my body, which I appreciate right. and I value. So this right. is not me saying that I don't appreciate that, but I just wish that I would have had a bit more balance in right. coming to understand and really celebrate. Because, you know, mm-hmm. and I mean, the church, you know, was also a part of this conditioning as well, because, mm-hmm. you know, I've always had a curvy body, and curvy bodies was always associated with things that I wasn't supposed to be doing. So it was never like, oh, girl, celebrate your hips and thighs. It was like, where are you getting these hips and thighs from? It was like,
you know, those only come from doing one thing.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't actually, know. Like, no, I'm actually just eating quarter pounders with cheese. That's it. But I mean, I'm saying all this to say, moving forward in my adult life, I'm trying to cultivate mm-hmm. practices to celebrate and really come to know all the different parts of me. Time and place, right? I'm not getting ready to go be sashaying up and down everywhere, you know, giving everybody deep, intense eye contact. But I'm just saying, time and place. Time and place. I feel like I have got to learn how to be, to try to be comfortable in you know, in every part of who I am. And that's something that I'm working on. And to do that, I am unlearning and learning some things. So mm-hmm. one of the things I'm doing is really learning how to call out the negative self-talk we talk about all the time, stopping myself mm-hmm. from negative self-talk. And then also being able to call out hate and naysayers and negativity that's around me, and being more open and receptive to positive messages, because I've also learned that I have a practice of, you know, shirking compliments or just playing down. Oh, girl, no. Learning how to say thank you. If somebody said, girl, you are in that dress, just saying thank you, right? Instead of saying, yes. like, you know, instead of saying like, oh, girl, no. So.
Or the classic black, I'm just trying to get like
I'm
you.
I'm just trying to keep up with you, sis. That's it. But yeah, there are things that I'm doing. So trying to do, like, you know, I think also unlearning, you know, people think that being humble means that people kind of conflate humility with just like being, you know, down on yourself or, you know, humility, learning that you can be humble and self-loving and self-appreciating. Mm-hmm. And you can learn how to celebrate yourself without being, you know, arrogant. So right. I think, you know, learning and understanding the distinction between those words in healthy ways has also been really helpful to me. Really, and having accountability partners, me and LaToya talk all the time. Like, she's been really good. One of the things that she's been working with me on is trying to get me to stop saying that I'm trying instead of doing. So she'll be like, she'll be like, girl, you did a really good job on XYZ. And I'd be like, oh, girl, you know, I'm trying my best. She was like, no, girl, you're doing your best. Stop saying you're trying. Just like, oh.
Oh, wow. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. So, you know, those working on different words and being conscious of the words that I use and having accountability partners to help me call out that language, and paying attention and asking questions. So if I see somebody who kind of like is embodying that, embodying what I want to embody, not being ashamed or afraid to ask them, you know, what they're doing, how they learn that. You know, I'm secure enough to say that there's still plenty of things that I don't know how to do. So if I see, you know, not in a creepy way, right? I don't go up to somebody and say, teach me how to be sexy. That's not what I'm doing. It's more like, you know, I really admire the way that you, you know, own a space, or the way that you're comfortable mm-hmm. with the space that you take up in the room. What are some of the things that you've done to kind of help you get to that place? What are ways that you're like being unapologetic about who you are? Is that something that you struggle with? And what I'm learning is, in my conversations with women, is like, most women, even the bad, bad bitches, are like, girl, I'd be scared to death on the inside, but I just be out here.
It's a good conversation. There's people who ask questions. I know they remember we got a honesty box one time, and it was like, I see you all when you go out and you got on sneakers, and you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to do that. You can. And I think I got to a place where my comfort was so important. And this is not just as it pertains to clothes. This is just myself. And one thing that I've tried to really, really implement in my own life in many forms and facets, whether it be related to how I dress, you know, you know, how I pray, whatever is making sure first and foremost that I feel the best in it. Mm-hmm. Really consulting with myself and being like, okay, how does this make you feel? Really checking in with myself and seeing how this makes me feel. And that's how I've been able to embrace a lot of things about myself. When I said earlier, like, I'm not your conventional sexy girl. That's not a bad thing. And that's not to say that anybody who is exuding, you know, your typical forms of sexiness, I guess, or whatever, the society standards of sexiness, that's not saying anything negative about them. I've just realized that my sexy might be very different from somebody else's. Yeah. My sexy may come in a Dickie suit and a pair of Air Max. And you know what I'm saying? And that's how I feel my best. And when I feel my best, that's when I do my best. That's when I perform my best. That's when I, you know, that's just when I am my best self, because I'm fully comfortable in who I am. And that's what's been able to really help me, I guess, on my journey as it pertains to my body, as it pertains just all of those things. You know, there was a time when I felt like, I'm like, well, girl, like, you're never really going to be the sexy girl. So how do you deal with this? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you even want to be the sexy girl? That was the first thing I asked myself. Do you even want to be the sexy girl? And you know what the answer was?
No.
No, I don't actually. I have no interest in it whatsoever. And doing things like that, really checking in with me and seeing what it is I want, I think is one thing that's really helped me to be really comfortable with who I am.
Yeah.
And really embrace that.
I'm glad you said that, because it really does boil down to just having really good, strong self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really being comfortable, because I feel like that's the best thing we can do to, mm-hmm. To like own who we are, is really know who we are and learn how to be that person all the time. Yep.
Absolutely. And not letting other people's ideas of who they think you should be influence how you feel about yourself. Like, and that's not to say like what Kia's talking about with her and Toya and being accountability partners, things like that are important. It's important, not saying you need to have yes men in your life, mm-hmm. but it's important to have people to check in with and, you know, kind of really boost those little moments. But it's also really important to be able to check in with yourself and see how you feel. Like, you really need to be able to sit with yourself first before anybody else. And nobody's going to tell you how you're the most comfortable. Nobody's going to tell you what makes you feel the most sexy. Right. Nobody is going to be able to really embody what it is that you need for yourself to be that person. And so that's why I think it's so important to do that. And that's why I've really tried to implement that. I've had people try to sway exes, men, whatever. You know what I'm saying? They won't talk about your body. They won't talk about, you know, this or that, what they don't like, the way you dress. But I think I started telling myself, well, if you don't like it, there's a nigga who does. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Things like that have really helped me to, like, grow into that full comfort of who I am. But I don't want to ramble.
No rambling. Rambling's welcome. I just thought that it would be dope to have a conversation around, you know, what just kind of keeping us checked in to, you know, just that level of self-awareness of who we are, where we want to be, the progress that we're making toward that. Reading Viola Davis's story was affirming to know that, you know, someone at her age and stage and level of success can still struggle with these things. So that, you know, if it was reassuring to me, you know, that, you know, I'm not, it's never too late to kind of get yourself together in these ways and, you know, just reclaiming the time that you lost being worried about the wrong things. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, that's how she ended the conversation in terms of what advice she would give to her 13-year-old self. And she said, I would tell her that she was enough. I wasted so much time listening to the naysayers. And I just wish I had listened to the other voices of people saying that I was beautiful and talented. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just what a waste that we've reminded ourselves that we are the biz naive.
What would you tell your 13-year-old self?
I would tell my 13-year-old self that, you know, this body is not going anywhere. So you might as well get with it, sis. And there are ways that you can learn to love it. You know, you don't have to be ashamed of it. It's not something that you need to hide or cover up. And you can be a lady and be you. And sexy doesn't have to be what you see all the time. Sexy is who you are. And, you know, who you are is pretty dope. So be that. I think that's what I would tell. I would tell her, because she really hid in all, and she hid in oversized coats and clothes because she was afraid of the way that she was built, and the way that people would judge her because of the way that she was built.
I like that.
What would you tell 13-year-old Jade?
I would tell 13-year-old Jade that the way that you dress now is how you're going to dress for the rest of your life. And so be comfortable in that right now. And it's okay. You don't have to try to go through the sexy phase. It's going to come. You don't have to do it. That Express Velour two-piece outfit is actually quite ugly. But you're good just the way you are. Like, you're not, your sexy does not come from, it does not come from what society standards of sexy are, but you are dope, and you're going to be dope.
To the day you dis not ye.
That's it, my nigga.
Oh my God. Okay. Thank you.
So next week, we have some dope guests.
Oh yes. We will have some dope guests. We've been saying that, but listen, we can promise you that they will be present and accounted for around the table.
Absolutely. So we have we actually have some dope guests over the next couple of weeks. Again, thank you all for being patient with us. Y'all know how life goes and how shit happens, but we appreciate you for always coming to sit at the kitchen table with us. I like this, sis. This was a good one.
Well, thank you.
This was a good one. Let's move on to our honesty box.
Okay.
Sometimes you need a break from reality, including your go-to escapes like social media. I'm talking about a real escape to a brightly colored world that's Best Fiends. Best Fiends is a mobile game for everyone, and it's a brain break filled with puzzles and cute characters. Most of those characters are bugs, while the antagonists are slugs. There's a story that draws you in too, and Best Fiends stays fresh and engaging by constantly changing. Literally, the story changes because Best Fiends is updated monthly with new levels and events, so it never gets old. So I love, actually started playing Best Fiends on the train. You know, I find myself on the train listening to my music, and I said, well, you know, I'm not really into scrolling on the internet on my phone, or, you know, I don't really like looking up in people's faces. Best Fiends is great because I'm able to use it without the internet. So that's one of the best parts. It's a perfect train game. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters with Best Fiends. Download the 5-star rated game on the Apple App Store and Google Play for free. That's Friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Honestly?
Truly.
All right. Let's get into this box of honesty. Hey, y'all. Hope this email found you well. I'm emailing in about a friend who experienced something really shitty.
Oh, no.
You can call me Mimi. My friend Viola just started dating like 2 years ago. Okay. She's 27. All right. And she met a super cool and nice guy.
Awesome.
About a year ago, and they've been exclusive for 10 months.
Very nice.
He invited Viola to a barbecue for Labor Day, and she went. She was texting me and our other mutual friends about how much of a good time she was having and how she pretty much met all of his family and the last few of his closest friends she hadn't met. I'm sorry, some of this verbiage is a little confusing. Long story short, she overheard some of his friends calling her all sorts of mean things and calling her ugly and saying that he has never taken on a charity case like that.
Oh, no.
She obviously left the party, but has been torn up over it ever since. She just told me yesterday, and I'm pressed.
Oh,
she hasn't told him, though, just that she's not mad at him, but she had to leave the party. Wait, I'm sorry. Okay, Mimi, I'm just trying. You just got to read this through one good time before you send it. She hasn't told him. just said she's not mad at him, but she had to leave and left the party. Mm-hmm. She also said to me she didn't confront them toe fungus asses because she just turned and left the party. Viola is a shy girl who's been bullied since we were kids. Okay. Guys used to dog her all through our school years, and when I wasn't protecting her, and even when I was, it got to her a lot. Some bum nigga even faked asked her out on a date on some teen sitcom shit and laughed at her when she said yes.
Oh, no.
Viola is such a pretty girl. She really grew into her looks but plays small and hides behind comfortable frumpy attire. That's my baby and I love her down since we were on a playground together back in the day. This nigga, on the other hand, is objectively handsome and honestly is the sweetest guy I've ever met. He really likes Viola a lot and is so good to her. I'm genuinely impressed how he treats her around her friends and away from them. I really want to punch these niggas in the face. Mood. I've heard men will honestly break up a happy home because their friends don't find their partners fuckable. Oh my gosh, which is whack. I don't want them to break up. Viola threw that trash ass idea of breakup with him, but I told her to chill because she's in love and I can tell she's working on her self-esteem and she's doing so good, but this really shot her down. Here's my question. Do I tell the nigga?
No.
I know I shouldn't, but his friends are dogs for that. How can I advise my friend how to move through this? I really want the best for her, and as dumb as this sounds, this man is it. I feel it. They're great together, but after that little thing with his friends, I don't know. Advice for Viola, please. Oh, girl, I went through all of this to try to hide these people's names, and she told me all names have been changed in the box. Best Mimi.
All right, then. Well, what do you think, sis? Because I'm not comfortable with her telling dude. Is it just me? You would tell him?
No, just because I'm not.
I don't feel like it's my
friend is my friend first. Yeah.
I feel like my friend is my friend first. I would do everything I could to encourage her. I'd be like, sis, you have to tell him. You have to tell him you're in a relationship with him. You have to be honest with him and let him know that the people in his life have done the following.
Yeah.
And it made you feel the following. So I don't feel like I would tell him, but I would really, 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 really be on her about, like, why wouldn't you tell him?
Because the thing about it is, and if you want to, you can let her know this as well. She, if this is a person who she's truly in love with and they're really, you know, just kind of like building their lives together, these niggas are gonna be around.
Yeah, and I feel like it's gonna be a test. Cause I mean, if he does not handle this appropriately, then we need to know that right now.
Now.
Immediately. Now.
We need to know how he is going to handle this situation.
Yes.
Because it is his responsibility.
Absolutely.
I don't care what nobody says.
That's how I feel.
As far as now, it does sound like, you know, Viola has some other things she's got to work through personally as far as building her confidence and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting that this honesty bot comes during this week when we had this kitchen table talk, but she's got to really grow comfortable with herself,
right.
how she presents, you know, kind of get over some of those demons that she had as a child. And that's work that she's going to have to do. And maybe as a friend, you can help her with certain methods, maybe help with looking for a therapist on how to work through some of those issues. Mm-hmm. But as far as he's concerned, that's your friend first. I would focus on trying just to help her to be her best self. And again, like he has said, encourage her to be honest. If this is going to really be a thing, encourage her to be honest, because she's just going to place herself in a uncomfortable situation by not telling him what's going on. Plus, we need to see how this nigga's going to handle this. Like, how are you going to have her back? That's a good test.
Yes.
So, I would really focus on your friend. I would really just try to help to build your friend up and really help her to become her best self. And I know that's work that she also has to do solo, but just being encouraging as a friend, I think, is the best thing that you can do right now. But it's not really your place to go to this, to go to this man.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't really know this man. You wouldn't know this man if he was walking down the street. Mm-hmm. Don't say nothing to this man.
I'm sorry to this man.
But yeah,
I am not sorry to this man's sorry ass friends.
No. But yeah, I hope that that's helpful, and keep us updated, man.
Please. And you can let Viola know that I personally said that them niggas can eat dick. Continue to send your honesty box questions to getgrillpodcast@gmail.com. Let's get on to these petty peeves.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister, because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
All right, all right, all right. It's time for petty peeves, and I think I'm ready.
Okay.
I talked about this a little bit on the Twitter earlier this morning. So I understand, as someone who, you know, attended college and never left, and that, you know, I continue to work, work, you know, within the higher education landscape, and I have done so for the past 15 years or so. I recognize and know firsthand that college is not for everybody. And I'm not saying that you have to have, like, I feel like, you know, I get that for a long time, especially when we were coming up, and even now, there's a lot of messaging, there's a lot of negative stigma associated with choosing not to go to college. And I don't think that that's fair, because college is an investment. It's an investment mm-hmm. of time, and it's an investment of money. It's an investment, you know. So, and I feel like there are lots of conditions and things that need to be in place before a person is able to make that decision. And sometimes you get into college and realize that it's not for you. So there's nothing wrong with choosing not to go or choosing not to finish. If, you know, your pathway to purpose may not, you know, include, you know, post-secondary training in that way. And I fully acknowledge that there are plenty of successful people who have found their success without the benefit of college. And I fully support that. I think brilliance is everywhere, and brilliance, recognize brilliance everywhere. I can recognize brilliance in a person, you know, that does not have any conventional credentials. Mm-hmm. You know, all that being said, that's kind of like context for what I'm about to say. Let me tell y'all what gets on my nerves, though. I see a lot of these posts on Instagram more than Twitter, but, you know, just kind of out in the social media space, people say things like, go to college, go to school for 12 years, get out to work for somebody else. Like, that's ridiculous. Or like, you know, college is a scam. All education is a scam. You don't need that. Don't let them tell you that you need that. And I feel like one extreme, we're going from the extreme of, you know, well, how we have stigmatized not going to college. I don't feel like mm-hmm. the answer is then going to the opposite extreme of stigmatizing people who do go to college. I feel like we have to find a balance, because there are some things there. I don't feel like we should just throw away the other, you know, throw away the other side of the coin is what I'm saying. I wish that we can get to a place, like, why do we have to shade? Like, you know, y'all know that I went to college and graduate school and all, because those are the things that I needed to do the work that I feel like I've been purposed and called and made to do. I needed to have these credentials, these experiences to be in the places that I'm in. There are other people who are doing so well in life, and college wasn't a part of their journey. And that doesn't make me any smarter than them. It doesn't make them any dumber than me. It doesn't mean that we both can't find and realize success. I just really don't like that we have to, why do we have, if you know that something's not for you, that doesn't mean that you have to talk trash about what another person chose to do. I don't see why we have to do that. I think that does not serve us as a people. And I wrote a really, really long kind of thread on Instagram earlier. I mean, on Twitter earlier, because I just feel like going to school doesn't make you any smarter than people who choose not to go or finish. Choosing not mm-hmm. to go to school or pursue any kind of post-secondary education or training is just that, a choice. Brilliance exists in all kinds of spaces, and we need us everywhere to get anywhere. We can't rectify or undo the damage of one extreme by adopting another extreme, and shaming people for needing or wanting to go to college or graduate school is really, really dumb. As far as, like, you know, it's, I mean, you know, and we can go back and forth and debate the flaws and limitations of the educational system. I'm not saying that it is without flaw, like, but that doesn't mean that we just throw it all out. Like, you know, we have to be in these spaces in order to affect change. So I just get annoyed when I see these memes. Everyone can't be an entrepreneur.
everybody's not going to be, you know, a hustler. There are some of us who are destined to be dentists, and that requires you to go to dental school. And you know what I'm saying?
And we need
dentists.
Like that in my life.
And I need my dentist to have been in school for 12 years. That's what I need, because these teeth are mine and we got to get them taken care of. The same goes for my accountant. The same goes for my lawyer. The same goes, you know what I'm saying? I just feel like what we need, like,
OBGYN,
you know,
I'm so happy
that the people who are playing around within my uterus have had the adequate training to do so. That makes me happy. Thing. So like, why do we have to, I don't know. It just annoys me. There's one particular group of entrepreneurs on Instagram who make these memes and put them up, and it's just like, aren't you glad that you don't have, I mean, and you know, yeah, y'all got us, you know, you don't have debt or what have you, you know, but I just feel like there are costs and benefits to every choice that we make. Right. And I don't know your life, sis, and I don't know the circumstances that led you to the choices that you made, and you don't know mine. And I would appreciate it if we could just agree to just be over here minding the business that the Lord gave us and rooting for each other to win. I don't need you over here telling me that I was stupid because, you know, I went to school for all these many years. I don't tell you that you're stupid because you didn't. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
People are so judgy.
I wish that we could just and to be real, you know, I have just as many friends who didn't go to college as I have all my friends who have PhDs, I have just as many friends who didn't go to college at all. People ask me who are the people that I look up to, the smartest people that I know. I will always say the smartest person I know is my grandfather. He has a high school education. The other smartest person I know has a PhD. But they're both people that I look to for advice and wisdom for different reasons. But both of them have a level of intelligence and intellect that I think is, you know, far beyond my wildest dreams. And I hold them both in extremely high regard. And I'm not that person that gets hung up on credentials, and I don't hang out with people who only have what I have and all that other stuff. I just feel like I wish we wouldn't separate. I think we do ourselves such a disservice by keeping score of this kind of stuff. It's really one of the main reasons why I put Team Type and Fast together, because we being in academe killing each other, fighting over the same, thinking that we have to fight over the same one spot when it's really space out there for all of us to win if we get together and help each other. And what we learn in the academy is useful for people who didn't go to college at all. And what we learn in the academy can help the entrepreneurs. And what the entrepreneurs learn on the hustle can help us in the academy who are trying to figure out how to hustle our way through those streets. So I feel like there's so much more that we can learn when we come together with each other instead of judging each other for what, you know, we decided to do. Like, yeah, I went to school forever and ever, amen, because that's what I had to do. And I know that you didn't, but I don't look at you like, damn. I look at you like, oh, that's what's up. Because she's got this much money in the bank and she's got all these businesses. She's doing X, Y, Z. And I respect that. So I don't know. I just wish that we wouldn't get I wish we wouldn't get hung up. It's such a distraction. And I feel like, we don't want to get deep because we always do it all the time, but I feel like this is what white people do. You know, this is what the white supremacists, people who designed this system, they set up all these things to keep us at odds with one another. And it's such a waste of time and energy, because I feel like they know deep down, if we really get together with our respective expertise, you having street smarts, me having book smarts, we could turn this whole world inside out, and they really wouldn't know how to take it. That's why they keep us over here arguing over the dumb stuff. But I'm gonna shut up now.
And that's why getting grown exists.
It's so dumb.
Well, speaking of being at odds with one another, I'm sorry if you heard this on Jaden XD, but I know there's a good portion of you all who don't listen to that foolishness. Quick story, Tristan took me out for my birthday for dinner, and he took me to one of his restaurants on his list that he wanted to try. So we go, and they tell us it's going to be a wait for the table. So we're like, sure, we're going to go to the bar and have a drink. Like, you know, we're out. It's nice. So we go to the bar, we sit down, we have delicious cocktails, and we're looking at the menu to figure out what we want to eat. And as we're looking at the menu, that's when I realized that we are at a plant-based restaurant.
Yum.
Delicious. Delicious. So
your friend.
Well, he did not realize it was a plant-based restaurant either. And so, you know, he's like, all right, well, you know, we can go somewhere else. And I'm, you know, of course I'm trying to be easy. So I'm like, no, let's give it a go. And he's like, I don't want this. I was like, wonderful, amazing, let's go. So we tell the bartender, we're not going to take the table whenever it's ready. We're just going to close our tab and head out. And he's like, all right, no problem. So the server, who was, I guess, going to be our server, came up and he was like, you guys' table is ready. And we were like, oh, well, we just told the bartender we're actually going to close out and head out. And he's like, oh, why? And I was like, we just didn't realize it was a plant-based restaurant. So, you know, we're just going to go out and have something else. I was like, you know, it's my birthday. I want a little steak. You know what I'm saying? Real lighthearted. He's like, that's me being lighthearted. Now he's like, oh, well, I don't feel bad. And I was like, huh?
Okay.
I was trying to be positive. And I was like, well, the drinks were really actually very delicious. So that was a nice experience. And he was like, that's because we put the juice from animals in them. We put meat juice in them. That's what makes them so delicious. Oh, I was like, mercy, Jesus. I said, oh, okay.
Is that what we're doing? Like,
you one of those. Okay. You one of those.
That's what we're doing.
I was like, all right, nigga, well, you all right, bet. So we close our tab. So we pass him on the way out. And I was like, you have a good night. And he was like, yeah, whatever.
Man.
So that's what me and Tristan, that's when we really start cutting up. We were like, oh, this nigga's butt hurt. This nigga is butt hurt. He is upset because he has on leather shoes. He didn't even realize it. We're just trolling on the way out. But my petty peeve this week, first of all, my petty peeve is actually not, I'm going to do exactly what Kia said her petty peeve is. I'm going to go the opposite extreme. You want to talk shit about me because I eat meat. I'm going to talk shit about you for having fake carnitas on your menu. Carnitas is carne. That's meat. And you have it, but it's made from palm. Mm-mm. You have...
I'm going to rile up the vegetarian vegan community.
Well, you know what? Tell their brothers and sisters to stay the fuck out of my face. Honestly, my real petty peeve is this. I don't really care if you're vegan or you're plant-based or what have you. I don't care if that's what you choose to do. I have plenty of vegan and vegetarian friends who don't impose their own shit onto anybody else. And you know what we do? We all find something on the menu that we like and we order that and we eat it. And nobody cares what anybody else is eating because they do not have to shit it out later. And so you don't get to be this judgmental ass human being and think you're on some higher plane because you choose not to eat meat or consume any meat-based products in your life. I'm not going to judge you for how you eat. So don't judge me for how I eat. And I thought the whole thing was absolutely hilarious. But at the end of the day, like, you look like a fucking psycho. Like, you look crazy right now that you are really getting this upset over my personal choices about what I put in my body. Nobody said they were getting ready to go out and eat Bengal tiger or, like, you know what I'm saying? Any other endangered species. Like, I'm not getting ready to go eat white tiger. I'm not doing that. I'm not getting ready to go eat penguin or whatever. I don't know if they're endangered or not. But it's my choice as to what I want to put in my body. And you should just keep your mouth shut about that. And that's it.
And that's all. So thanks again, ladies and germs, for joining us for another episode of Getting Grown. Oh my Lord. Thank you guys for continuing to contend with Jade.
Ladies and germs is right.
We know, I personally know how much of a chore
I didn't say it.
That really is. Thank you for your patience with me too. But yeah, we appreciate y'all for continuing to listen to our program, for tuning in week after week for our shenanigans. And we hope that things that we say are useful to you. We thank you for your support. And we will continue to show up, as long as y'all will continue to join us. So yeah, in the meantime and in between time, we're going to check with y'all a little later.
Thank you guys for listening. Continue to drink your water.
Mind your business.
And moisturize. Why, sis?
Because your black will crack if it's dry.
Every day. Bye.
Vegans.
Oh my gosh. We're going to get letters.
Fidelity Investments is looking for talented people. People who love helping others. People eager to start a career in financial services. Sound like you? As a customer relationship advocate, you'll be the voice of Fidelity. You'll learn alongside other resourceful, friendly associates all working to achieve clients' financial goals. Learn more about the opportunities at customeradvocate.fidelitycareers.com. Fidelity Investments is an equal opportunity employer.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.